Welcome, everyone. Not just two things, but three things you need tonight. I forgot to set one out, so thanks to John for one, picking up on that, and then two, making sure you all have your unfailing light worship booklets. You need those. You need the half sheet that we're using for Advent, and then your red hymn books, because we will be singing a couple hymns out of there. If you are very familiar with Unfailing Light, that service, just be prepared that we're going to be doing it a little bit differently, just because I'm using more of a pared down version of that as part of Advent. So with that, okay, we are doing kind of a continuation of our entry into Community Week as part of Vespers tonight, so just be aware. The one closing activity that Chance had wanted to do, where we get to move up, if you've ever done the exercises, where according to how you answer the question, you stand in a different place in the room. That is how we'll be beginning the sermon, the homily portion of the sermon tonight. And just because of some of the stuff that John the Baptist speaks to in the gospel text, really got me thinking about a larger conversation around how we think about wellness and how we set priorities for our own lives. And so it just seemed, honestly, I felt spirit-led to have more of a dialogical sermon. So there will be conversations in groups of three during the sermon, and some of you will love that and some of you will not. And, you know, we just have to go with different learning styles. So this is different from our normal practice, but I pray that, and in honor of Community Week, that we'll lean into a slightly different practice for the homily, the sermon tonight. So with that, I invite you just to take a breath. We've all been moving about the village to have dinner in different spaces. I pray that your conversations have been blessed, and I invite you now into this space with and for each other, as we gather for a time of reflection and worship. We begin with a brief order of confession and forgiveness that is found on page 20. Towards the backs of your worship booklets. And as you feel comfortable, I invite you to please rise. We begin in the name of the Creator and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Blessed be God, who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and rich in love. God does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor punish us according to our guilt, but looks upon us in compassion, forgives our sin, and heals our lives. Therefore, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. We hold a moment of silence for reflection and self-examination. Have mercy, O God, together.
Against you alone have we sinned. In your compassion, cleanse us from our sin and take away our guilt. Create in us a new heart and give us a steadfast spirit. Do not cast us away, but fill us with your Holy Spirit and restore your joy within us.
As tender as parent is to child, so gentle is God with you. As high as heaven is above earth, so vast is God's love for you. As far as east is from west, so far God removes your sin from you, renewing your life through Jesus Christ. Blessed be God who crowns us with mercy and love.
Blessed be God forever.
We continue now on page 18 to the Kyrie.
In peace, let us pray to the God. In peace, let us pray to the God.
to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated as we now hear from our scriptures.
The first reading is from Romans chapter 15. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Today's gospel reading is from Matthew, says chapter 24, but I know it's chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the dominion of heaven has come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, saying, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight the paths of the Lord.'" Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan River, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees, leaders in the community, coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourself that we have Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. With a winnowing fork in his hand, he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the Holy Gospel. Thanks be to God. Now, I mean, as a kid, I would hear these words, and they're a little spooky. Fire and brimstone are words that we don't like to hear about, and so my goal is to breathe new life into this text, specifically for this community, and how it is that we think about wellness. As we looked at the six different areas of wellness, there seems to be, it's not just kind of choose what you want, but if we want growth, there sort of seems to be this kind of push place. In the emotional wellness, they talked about regulation, right? That it's not just, if I'm emotionally well, I can just let it all hang out. No, part of emotional wellness is regulation, right? In intellectual wellness, if you want to grow, to expand, to understand, there was that word discipline. And again, it's not like you're in trouble discipline, but it's having, you know, sort of this repetitive, this structure to achieve wellness. I was in a small group with Chuck and Peg, and he even talked about creative pursuits having that discipline, that you can't just sit down and be like, I'm going to do something creative today. I'm going to write a book. No big deal. It's a daily writing practice in order to get to you that place. There's a discipline to that, right? And the word, I love this one, in work wellness, work and job wellness, the word was grit. that there's something there that we kind of hunker down because we know that even though we don't want to do something, that we know that there's some kind of pushback, structure, discipline that is necessary for our wellness. So that's the frame that we're holding for community week. And honestly, it's the frame that I want us to hold to understand today's gospel reading. So, first, the exercise. I'm not going to require that you participate, but I encourage you. This was something that Chance put together. It is a series of questions, and you get to move towards, so there are questions about the different areas. So the first two questions will be around work wellness. You guys can kind of do it up in the balconies up there, too, if you want. My job in the village is meaningful for my sense of vocation or my sense of that kind of work that I like to do and feel called to do, right? So if that is like, yes, totally, you'll be standing here. If you're like, it sort of is, it sort of isn't, that would be in the middle. So green light, yellow light, and then no, stop. It is totally not kind of my dreamed about job and my life's sort of sense of meaning. Stand on here, and then there'll be a bunch of other questions to follow. So again, if you totally think, yep, this is a place of wellness and health, please stand over there. If it's somewhere in the middle, otherwise come over here. Now, we're doing this, one, because self-reflection, sometimes it's easier to reflect when you're moving your feet, and so it's a self-awareness activity, but it's also to notice, perhaps when you're in the red zone, right, that this is a job that totally doesn't connect with me, that you can kind of look around and realize you're not alone, that there may be others that are there, potentially conversation partners, or somebody that you can make a knowing glance to. So part of it is your own awareness, but also it's community connections that you might make through this exercise. Second question, I am able to create and navigate healthy work-life balance. So that has less to do with the specifics of the job, but thinking about the work requirements and a healthy life balance.
Same.
So same, yeah, it'll just stay the same as far as, so green is like, yep, I got the perfect.
Sorry.
Perfect work-life balance at this job. The middle is like, sort of.
Welcome, friends.
And down in the red zone. All the assistant managers. Great.
All managers
Wait,
are down here, right?
Wait, is it a lot for your partner to be, like, moving you places?
You need to make your own self-decision. You can have a conversation about it later. All right, so now two on physical wellness. My level of physical activity promotes the type of life I want to live. So I'll say it again. Physical wellness. My level of physical activity promotes the type of life I want to live. See where you're at and see who's with you.
Oh, yeah, let's go somewhere.
This is the one that I like. Okay.
That's the one you like? Well, you guys are doing so much running in school. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. All right, here's sort of the other end of that. Under physical wellness, my sleep habits ensure that I feel well rested.
Oh, goodness.
Notice your own response to that question, and then notice who's around you. All right, for social wellness, the way I engage with people allows me to form meaningful relationships.
Why do we have to go around?
I don't know. Okay, again, remember, this is sort of thinking about your own sense of wellness. Second under social is my ability to communicate thoughts and needs help me to navigate conflict. So this is a conflict statement. My ability to communicate thoughts and needs help me to navigate conflict. Is it totally you? Yep, I feel really healthy about that. The doors. It's kind of a mixed bag. It's full of my heart. Otherwise, you're under the cross up there.
It's better. I just swing over the channels.
Be safe.
Not all the way at that wall.
Where does that fall? Is that over there?
All right.
I'm back with you.
Intellectual wellness. I feel actively engaged in continued learning. So how are you doing wellness-wise intellectually? I feel engaged in continued learning. Actively. Yes. All right. Second question under intellectual wellness. I am able to enter into questions with an open mind. I am able to enter into questions with an open mind. Okay. For spiritual wellness, number one, I feel spiritually nourished and grounded. Go stand on the spectrum where you feel like you're at. And some of you might use a different word for spiritual. You might have a different framing for that. All right, and the second one under spiritual wellness, I am able to make time and space for spiritual practice.
Yeah, that's I will do that.
Okay, this is the last category for emotional wellness. First one being, I am able to engage with my feelings in a healthy manner.
I'll be exactly.
And just so you know, I should have said this at the beginning. This is just right now. This is not your life definition. This is just kind of where you're at right now. And last one, I am able to ask myself questions about my own emotional experience without judgment. Without judgment. You're able to kind of consult yourself, ask yourself questions, ponder your emotional experience without judgment. Alright, thank you. You can have a seat. So it is my opinion that the church has gotten a bad rap, and I think rightly deserved, for being a little bit pushy with people, requiring that folks act a certain way or behave a certain way or believe a certain way, and there's this kind of, if you don't, then you're going to hell. If you don't, you're not fully part of this community. If you don't, you know, fill in the blank. And there's sort of this, it's just uncomfortable. And frankly, if you're like me and you have that little kind of inner rebellious person that really doesn't like following rules, you kind of have the like screw you mentality of that, right? Like, I don't have to deal with this. It's not life-giving for me. You can't tell me what to do, right? And so I've been thinking about this conversation. Chance was talking about spirituality and religion. And I wrestle with this because I like the idea of spirituality. I don't like the rules of religion. But then I think of my inability, since I've been to Holden Village, to engage in an exercise routine. Now, if you knew my life before I came to Holden Village, I met with a personal trainer twice a week. For the last 2 years, I was skating with a derby team, so I was getting into really big cardio 2 nights a week where we'd skate for 2 hours. And then Greg and I were usually doing adventures on the weekends, right, of some kind or another. I was really physically active, and honestly, I loved it. I was strong. I felt like I had good balance. And then, as you notice with the wellness stuff, that one little circle, physical well-being, affects other things. I was way healthier emotionally. I slept better at nights, which is, I guess, another part of the physical. But it affected other things. I had more mental alertness for intellectual things. And so I know that physical activity is good for me. And yet, since I've come here, my life has changed enough, I can't motivate myself to do it. I try to do, you know, the social connections, like, hubs, we're going to go and do this, like, this week, Angela, you know, like, let's go for a walk, right? I've talked with different people. Greg tries to get me on a regular basis, but I struggle with it. So my question is, I believe for my health and well-being, I need a push. I need some kind of accountability, and I would like for each of you to break into groups of 3, 4, and talk about a time when there was somebody in your life that pushed you to do something you didn't want to do, or even something that you did want to do, but like held you accountable, and now looking back, you might not have liked it at the time, but now looking back on it, you know, it was a really good thing. So go. I'll just give you a couple of minutes. About 3, 4 minutes. And if you've got a bigger group, just be aware you'll have to keep your responses shorter.
Yeah.
All right, if you can finish up. So as you reflected back on those stories, how many of you at the time didn't think it was a good thing?
What was that? What was the question?
Like in that moment when you were being pushed by this person or the situation, how many of you in the moment felt like it was not a good thing? Okay. And I did ask you, but even in reflection now, was there anybody, as you thought about it, you actually wondered whether it was a good thing, even though I said pick a situation where it was? Just sort of curious. All right. I've been watching our kids run, and I was curious what it's been like for you guys to do all that running. Is it something you look forward to with the school? Do you like running? Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
You do too? You like it? Would you do it as much if your teachers didn't ask you to do it?
Yeah.
Would you do it on your own, you think?
Mason
had an answer. No. Yeah. I'm with you, dude. I usually feel great after a run, but I frequently have to have somebody force me to do it.
Like I did on my run.
Yeah. So this is, thank you guys. I've been so impressed with your dedication to that and how hard you work. And I watch the way that you as a school function to support each other. And I keep wondering, I mean, that's kind of the heartbeat of Community Week, right? Ideally, our conversation went a little bit deeper. Yeah, I won't have you talk to each other again, so you can treat that kind of people. Unless you want to, you can talk to each other during offering or seeing that this is an intentional week where we think about how it is that we can support each other in our own wellness and how we deepen our relationships with each other. And I don't know, I keep thinking about all the Advent texts, Advent which means coming, and so we're preparing for the coming of Christ. There's sort of this rushing to get together with and for each other, and I feel like there's sort of some of that flurry. And I've talked with some of us as we've really entered into the thrust of Community Week that we kind of felt discombobulated today because there was just a lot of activity and things happening that were different from our normal. And so how do we pull together and find life in that? And I think there's heirs of that to what John the Baptist was trying to do to get ready for Jesus' coming, right? And it's taken on this really, I mean, he was kind of quirky, right? He wore like weird clothing made of fur, and he ate bugs, and, you know, lived in the wilderness, and was kind of this odd type, which made real connections with some of the prophets that had come before him, which helped people to listen to him differently because they made connections in their head. Oh, he's like one of those odd prophets, we should really listen to him. And he did this whole shaking up, like wanting to baptize people, right? And he says that, but Jesus is coming. He's like, I baptize now with water, but Jesus is going to be coming, and he's going to baptize with fire. And then there's all this stuff about winnowing forks and chaff getting thrown into the furnace, and this graphic stuff. But then I did some reading on it. If you cleanse yourself with water, it's just sort of an external, right? But if you think of, now we don't do this with human beings, but if you think of like precious metals, or if there is a burning that takes place, it's a much more permanent change. And I would like us to hear that there's sort of this heat and this intensity that I imagine would be very uncomfortable for us to experience. But the idea is think of all those like bad habits that you have that you hate. Assuming that you have some, right? Those emotions that seem to just cling to you, and you know, maybe it's like negative self-talk, or maybe it's guilt over something that's happened in the past, or you know, these things that just kind of get in our skin, and it doesn't matter how many times we try and wash it off and like clear a head, it just doesn't go away. But the promise that there is one who is coming that really can help burn all that crud out of us, so that we can live a life that is far more free and beautiful and life-giving to those around us. That's really kind of the heartbeat of what's happening here. that all that stuff that kind of weighs us down, that we wish we didn't have to deal with, there's suddenly these words of promise. And it's going to be painful, right? I mean, again, these words, grit, discipline, regulation, all the stuff we don't like, because if you're like me and you don't like to follow rules or to have anybody tell you what to do. Greg just even wanted me to write a note the other night. Do you remember this? He's like, because he knows that if I put it off, I'll forget about it. And he's like, I would really like you to sit down and write this note right now. And I just wanted to pick up the card and chuck it at him. Don't tell me what to do, right? I mean, we all have that in our bones. But I also know that being able to sit down and write that note and not forget about it, make sure it gets to the person who needs that, you know, those words, makes a difference. So that's my invitation for tonight. I think it's the invitation of the text. I think it's the invitation of Community Week. For us to think about, what does our own wellness look like? What does our own quest for meaning look like? And to perhaps allow some of these refining pushes, whether it's a discipline that we take on. I'm trying to come up with a new exercise plan. I think Elisa and the kids are going to help me, right? how do we do that for ourselves? So my prayer for all of us is that we can look at those six areas this week. And maybe we pick a primary and a secondary that we really want to take a good look at. And we allow ourselves to deal with some of the hard stuff. Because by dealing with some of the hard stuff, we break free from it and enter into the really good stuff. May it be so for all of us. Amen. This hymn that we're going to sing, I just thought the words were really cool and the melody kind of haunting, but it may be different or new to you. So Janelle's going to be playing it through on the flute to begin with. It's hymn number 711, O Day of Peace, in your red hymn book 711. So listen to it all the way through once before we begin singing. Thank you. join now together in singing the prayers found on page 21 in your Unfailing Light booklets. Watch, O Lord, is the title of the piece.
Oh, it's
Turn our heart towards those who hunger, that all may know your care. Prepare us now to feast upon your mercy, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Amen. Amen. And so it is that we remember in the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, who's got the wine? Again, after supper, he took the cup. Awesome. Thank you. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Loving Jesus taught us a prayer that we know with many and various versions. I invite you to pray in a way that you feel most comfortable. For your God in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. All right, so our desire is that there be no barriers between you and this meal that Jesus offers, and so we've made some dietary allowments. So the first person that you're going to come to is Tom, yeah? Mm-hmm. And he's got gluten-free if that's what you need. Otherwise, you can come to me for a piece of bread. Kelly has the common cup. You can dip it in there, or you can drink directly from the common cup. Otherwise, Lyndon and Tom will have cups, individual ones, and then you can get wine or grape juice, and then Andrew will take your empty cup when you're done. And if you would like to come forward and just aren't in the practice of having communion, know that I would love to give you a blessing. So if you just kind of come up and cross your arms and cross your chest, I'll know to give you a blessing. We're grateful that you're here, and especially those of you that are visiting, thank you for supporting us so that we can be community, and church normally isn't this casual. Okay. All has been prepared. You're welcome to come forward.
Thank you.
And now may the fullness of Jesus Christ bless you and hold you in his grace. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Creator of the stars of night, we give you thanks for this gift of life. Increase our faith and open our eyes that we might recognize Jesus and all whom you call us to love and serve, namely the whole world. Abide with us as darkness deepens and be our hope and highest joy until at last with all your saints we dwell in your unfailing light. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 249, and we'll just be singing three verses of it, 1, 2, and 4. So 249, and then verses 1 and 2, and then number 4. And as you feel comfortable, I invite you to sing.
The sweater.